We're going to look at three single verses of Scripture this morning, and they're taken from different passages, and I want us to look at these and see what ties them together. And so we're going to put it up on the screen, and let's stand as we read these three verses. The first one's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Next scripture from John chapter 11, 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. One more passage from John chapter 12, verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Let's pray. Lord, today as we thank you for all the good things that you've done for us, we just pray that you'll help us to focus in on what you would share with us today about Mary of Bethany. Help us to draw closer to you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. All three passages we read today concern Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who lived in Bethany. The interesting connection I found between all three incidents is that Mary is described each time as being at the feet of Jesus. Did you notice that? Each time she's at the feet of Jesus. And that's the title of the message. It is amazing what you can pick up about people as you observe them through the magnifying lens of Scripture. As I read each of these stories in my devotions over time, I she's at the feet of Jesus, but it didn't really click until you read all three of them in proximity together about Mary. And then I began to realize that I don't know of anybody else in the Bible that is depicted like this. Most of you already know that when you get down at the feet of someone, you're doing two things for them. You're honoring them, and you're humbling yourself. You honor the person that you get at the feet of, and you humble yourself. And Mary was doing that in all these instances. Whether she was sitting at the feet of Jesus for learning, or she was, washing his feet, whatever it was, she was honoring him and humbling herself. If I was going to sit at someone's feet to humble myself and honor him or her, I can think of no better person than Jesus. Obviously, other people have had the same kind of impression in their life. Joseph Lincoln Hall wrote a hymn based on one or more of these incidents in Mary's life, and I found it insightful to read his words, and I read all three verses of this hymn, but I wanted to share verse 2 with you, which is was just the one I picked out. It says, sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? Here I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray, while I, from his fullness, gather grace and comfort every day. Why was Mary constantly at the feet of Jesus? We're going to share three reasons, and they're in the back of the bulletin. You can fill in the blanks and also jot down any other notes that you may have. The first reason is she was at the feet of Jesus from the Luke 10:39 passage. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus for instruction. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus for instruction. It says in our verse, talking about Mary and Martha, and Jesus would visit at their home in Bethany, and when Martha had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And so she comes to and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And Jesus says to her, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. That's the story of this first passage. And in this passage, Luke is drawing a contrast between the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Mary was attracted to the words of Jesus, Martha was distracted by household duties. And there's a lesson here for all of us Christians. There is a desire for us to spend time learning from God's word every day. No doubt every Christian feels like they need to spend some time learning from Jesus. Amen? But there is also a tendency to get sidetracked away from our time with God, and usually what does it is legitimate tasks, daily duties, the routine of life. We know we want to learn. We know that this is the guidebook for life. We know that it has great things for us to grasp a hold of. We know that the greatest teachings of the world come from the Bible. But yet, we get distracted by everyday life and duties and have little time, it seems, to spend at the feet of Jesus. In today's culture, the demands of instant access to anything and everything means that screen time is becoming one of the main culprits that rob us of our time with God. It is interesting. Become an observer. If you would put down your screen, your electronic device, and look around you, you will find a very interesting life going around. I've walked out here on a given day and seen the cars lined up to pick up children and grandchildren from school. Guess what everyone is doing in their car? Are they smelling the roses? Are they looking at the sunshine? Do they listen to the birds? Do they do any of that? Do they even look around to see that the preacher came outside? No, what they're doing is they're all down like this. On and on it goes. Go to a restaurant, go to wherever it is. Sit down in the dining room or living room of your own house. Try to have a conversation. You'd do better to text it to them. Many Christians I know have to be creative to make sure that they have quality time with God. It is instant access that is destroying the fact that we can have a relationship instantly accessing to God, and most of us would rather hear from our friend who liked something we posted on Facebook than we would to hear from our friend who has something that can change our lives. Ouch. Most of us in our houses, when we build them or have taken a house somebody else has built, guess what? We don't find a war room built into our houses. It's almost like today we need a spot that is tech-free, a closet somewhere, a room set aside, a place set aside where we as Christians can go and leave everything outside so that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we can actually focus on Jesus Christ. That's good preaching. Because the problem is, if you have a device anywhere around you, I guarantee you it's going to go off about the time you get to the third verse of reading God's love letter to you. You're going to have to be more intentional if you're going to sit at the feet of Jesus for instruction. And one of the greatest problems we have today that Mary did not have is the fact of the demands that electronics are doing to our lives. They demand our attention, and we have become addicted to those demands. I would like us to become addicted to time with God. I know that's a tall order, but I keep preaching this because I know that without spending time at Jesus' feet, we will struggle to make it as Christians today. Another reason we don't want to sit at Jesus' feet for instruction is that we already know what he's going to say most of the time. Most of us have discovered that when we come before God to learn, He often puts His spiritual finger on some area of our life that needs improvement, and we know that we haven't walked in that light yet, and so we don't like to come to the feet of Jesus, because what's He going to say if we really open up to Him? He's going to say, hey, have you been working on this? Most of us know about splinters that get underneath the skin. Any of you ever get a splinter? All right, three or four brave people. Any of you ever had a splinter? Yeah. You know how that they, big deal, ignore it for a while. Have you ever done that? One time I said, I'm not going to pick that splinter out. You know what happens with a splinter when you don't pick it out? It will let you know it is there. And it will create a bigger issue than if you'd just got out the needle in the first place and worked at it. I know it's a little painful. But if you leave it in there, that thing will grow exponentially. But the splinter will come out easier after you pop the pus and squeeze it all out. If you don't deal with a problem, it becomes a bigger problem over time. And when God is talking to us from His Word and we keep ignoring the problem, guess what happens? I got some smart people here. It's going to get worse. Why does God want to help us? Because it's less painful if you deal with the issue when God speaks to you about it than let it grow and get bigger and bigger until the thing pops and festers and oozes. Amen? Christians have learned over the years it's better to deal with a bad attitude or a bad action or a bad thought life right away than to let it fester and become worse, because God wants to heal, not hurt. Amen. I believe in a healing God. He wants His children to live and to think and to act like Him. His call all the way back from Leviticus 19:2 has been, be holy because I am holy. He wants us to be like Him. And that means some of the things in our lives need to go and some of the things in our life need to come. Amen. And one of those things is honor your father and your mother, since it's Mother's Day. Right? We need to work on that. Back to Luke's passage. When Martha complained to Jesus that Mary wasn't helping her, Jesus replied that Mary had made the right choice. Mary had chosen what was needed, some time alone with Jesus to hear His word and to get it into her heart and life. Are we any different? Don't we also need to learn from Jesus? Yes, like Martha, we have things we need to get done. But somewhere in our busy day and in our busy lives, we need to put aside the things that distract and focus in for some time with Jesus. And we will be better, a whole lot better, as we grow in relationship with Him. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus for instruction. Number two, Mary fell at the feet of Jesus for comfort. This one speaks to me today. In John 11:32, and the whole context of John 11 is that Lazarus has died. Jesus had delayed, and on it goes, and He heads over there. Martha meets Him, and they have this conversation, and they get into talking about the resurrection, and then she goes and gets her sister Mary and says, the Master calls for you. So Mary leaves and goes out and talks with Jesus. And in verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus had just heard these same words from Martha in verse 21. Which led to a discussion about the resurrection. But our focus is on the position of Mary. As she says these words, John writes that she fell down at His feet. Mary fell at the feet of Jesus for comfort. Now, we can guess why she fell at his feet. Lazarus was dead, her brother. Her heart was broken in grief. Jesus was a close friend who often visited and stayed at their house. So she wanted him, Jesus, to give her some comfort. That's why she was there. And all of us who have lived any length of life have experienced occasions when life caved in around us. Troubles seem to come in groups. You ever notice that? It just seems like when the devil decides to attack, he attacks with five things. It's not just your car breaks down, but the rent is due at the same time, plus somebody gets sick. And the family is making demands and whatever else, and there was something planned at school and whatever. Troubles come in groups, and they become overwhelming. Grief and loss feel like a mountain of emotion pressing down on us. Someone we loved has hurt us bad, and that pain is constantly nagging away at you that they hurt you, they hurt you, they hurt you. We need someone to comfort us, someone who knows, somebody who really cares. And one of the greatest things about being a Christian is that God is always just one prayer away. Amen. He is. We can bring our burdens. We can fall at his feet, and he always cares and always knows just how to feel us better, make us feel better. He does. He's been through it all. He's been tempted, yet without sin. He knows what it is to grieve. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to be just go through life, everything that has happened. He died the most horrendous death a person could conceive of. The pain is unfathomable, what Jesus went through. When I think about the fact that this is my first Mother's Day without a mother, I have Jesus to go to. Won't be sending a card. Didn't have to do it. Talked about with my dad yesterday. Mom always liked Mother's Day cards and flowers and candy. And you did remember your mother's, right? I wish I could remember my mother today. Joseph Scriven was an Irish poet who tried to live for God back in the 1800s. The day before he was to be married, his fiancée drowned. Later, he became engaged again, but the second girlfriend got pneumonia and died before their wedding. I want you to think about this. After more setbacks in life, Joseph moved to Canada and then heard his mother back in Ireland was very sick. So he wrote a poem for his mother back in Ireland, never intending for it to be published. Later, someone found the poem, and Ira Sankey later added music to his poem, which became a hymn that we all so know so well. And from his history of loss, how cathartic was his poem that it must have seemed as he wrote these words that we know so well, loss of two girlfriends that he never got to marry, his mother's dying miles away, and he wrote these words, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Everything." You can imagine how this felt when his mother got this. Everything to God in prayer. You know, sometimes we sing these songs and we don't realize what went into what happened for that person to write these songs out of tragedy after tragedy. I have a friend called Jesus. He knelt at Jesus' feet, fell at Jesus' feet for comfort. Mary took her burden and loss to Jesus, and she watched as God went to work on her behalf. You have faced many heartaches in life, and I can tell you from personal experience that many times Debbie or some other person has been a comfort to me, but there's also been some times when the only place I could go was to the feet of Jesus. and to fall down there, and it wasn't the words I said, because that didn't matter. It hurt too much. But Jesus knew, and he cared, and he lifted the load as I cried it out to him. I wish I could tell you that Lazarus came from the tomb every time in my life. I wish I could tell you that every time I fell at Jesus' feet, everything went back perfect. That's not the way the world is, folks. Life is going to be a trouble and trial to you and to me. This is not our home. We're just traveling through. It's going to be a troubled time here. The person who tells you that life's going to be smooth and easy is lying to you. Life is not designed to be smooth and easy. Life has been designed by two forces, heaven and hell, Jesus and Satan, and they're both competing and they're fighting, and you're in the middle of it. And they both want you, except the one wants you to destroy you. Jesus wants you so you can have eternal life with him forever. And so life isn't meant to be comfortable. There's this cosmic conflict going on, and you are in the middle of it. So anybody that tells you that if you just read your Bible, pray every day, everything's going to go good in your life, they're telling you a lie, because there's an enemy who's fighting for you. He wants to destroy you. He comes to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. So you're going to have difficulties and troubles in life, but during those difficulties and troubles, guess what? We have a Savior who will give us comfort when we fall on our faces before him. So I wish every time I fell on my face that Lazarus was raised from the dead. Sometimes it happens, a miracle occurs, and God comes through for me. There's a knock on the door, and groceries are arrived from some friends just when I was out of food, or things like that have happened. But other times, I've just had to struggle on with my faith in Jesus. Amen. That's the reality. But I knew he was there, and I knew that he cared, and that was enough. Most of the time, God gives me the comfort in my grief, but I have to move forward in life with his help. Troubles and griefs do not, I wish I could say they don't impact life, but they do. Many times as a hospice chaplain, I've had to use the illustration of your life as like a beautiful quilt. And then these losses come along and they tear holes in that quilt. You can't replace the loss of a mom or a dad or other people that were close to you. Oh, we take another piece of fabric in our life and stick it in there. It becomes different than the way it originally was designed, what we thought it was going to be like. But I tell you, life goes on, and that quilt, I wouldn't change it for anything, because it's still displaced. There's where my mom used to be. There's where grandpa used to be. There's where, and I still believe in them. And I still love them. They're just not here to talk to anymore. My life has changed a lot. So has yours. But I find comfort in the fact that God has helped me to heal. Amen. He's a healing God. He cares about your hurts and your needs. And he brings a comfort into your life. What burden are you struggling with today? No doubt you have fallen at the feet of Jesus before, but it's okay to do so again, because what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus for instruction. How important that is. Mary fell at the feet of Jesus for comfort. But then Mary knelt at the feet of Jesus for service. In John chapter 12, verse 3, already in the middle of the book of John, we're coming down to the final week of Jesus, and he's on his way to the cross. A lot of things happen in that final week. And Mary kind of senses that. In John chapter 12, verse 3, Jesus is again at the house with the disciples. They make supper. Martha served. Lazarus is one of those who sat at the table with him. He was resurrected. He was there as proof. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrant oil. And Judas begins to complain about the waste, and so on. Why, this money could have been given to the poor. Just an interesting story, but I want to focus on Mary. Every time Mary comes to the feet of Jesus, it is her choice. This time she knelt at the feet of Jesus for service. At his feet, Mary had received instruction. She'd received comfort. Jesus had given to her over and over, but in this passage, she made a choice to give back to God. She knelt down and anointed Jesus' feet, expressing all the love she could for him. This gesture of love should teach us that Christianity is not just a one-way street, folks. It's not all about God giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and thank you, God, thank you, God. But there's also comes a point in time where we, in service to him, show our love to God and love to others. Amen. And I'm not opposed to all the things God gives, but we should mature as Christians and reach a point where we can also give back to God and serve him in love. And part of maturity is to reach that point when we graduate from school and begin give back to society that has paid for us to go to school. That's good preaching. Work, though, is more than a paycheck. Work is providing a needed service or product that helps others in the community in which we live. We are producing to help. If we didn't have bakers that made our bread that we could buy off the shelf, if we didn't have butchers to butcher our meat, if we didn't have them to put them in there, what do you think stuff comes from? Thank God for the farmers. Thank God for the dairy workers. Thank God. And thank God for the grocery store people who stock the shelves. And thank God for people in business who organize all that and transportation that takes it here and there and everything else that comes together to make our society happen. We graduate in order to produce. That was a pretty good point. That's maturity. Do your part. Now, for Christians, there's an added level of maturity. Because as we mature, we also not only just work to help society and bring home a paycheck, but we also work to help Jesus in our society. We want to spread Jesus. Now, how many of you think we could use a little more Jesus where you work? A little more Jesus in your atmosphere around you, you know, and your places where you go. And the place, I mean, even Walmart needs more Jesus. Even your favorite restaurant needs more Jesus. Everywhere you go as a Christian, you take Jesus with you. You don't leave him at home. You don't set him in the car. You stay here, Jesus. We'll be back in half an hour. And so we take Jesus and we share his love wherever we go. We're helping our community because guess what? They need to see Jesus. They need to see us working for Jesus. They need to hear a compliment instead of a grump. They need somebody working on the line out there doing the same thing over and over again who actually loves Jesus. And maybe quote a verse of scripture now and then. Oh, that would be. just a thought. You're taking your life in your own hand anymore. Wear an I Love Jesus t-shirt to work when they're all advertising their favorite beer and something else. And maybe you get killed. I don't know. But Jesus died, showing his love. There's no doubt in my mind that Mary loved Jesus. She lavishly poured out her love on him in a specific way. She found a specific way, and it didn't matter to her what other people said, including the Judases in the group. She was going to give this gift to Jesus. And no one was going to stop her because he was going to die. And she didn't want to have a regret. I tell you, if you've got a mom and she's still alive, do not regret the fact that you didn't tell her you loved her. Her best friend is dying. She wanted to tell him she loved him. I tell my dad every week when I talk to him, I love you, Dad. That's practical there. But what about in our spiritual lives? I was reading a devotional, Lee Stanley Jones, this week, Growing Spiritually. I'm reading it day by day throughout the year. It's great, some of the stuff you get. It goes right with your message. He was writing about love. He said, go out today and find someone who needs your love and give it generously. You cannot determine to love in general. Well, I'll say, oh, I love everybody. You must love specifically. The word of love must become flesh in a specific deed of love. Broadcasting love is good as an attitude in general, but it may become a snare and a delusion if it remains merely general. It may become a cheap substitute for loving in particular. Oh, I just love everybody, so I don't love anybody. That's my words. This is our cop-out as Christians. Well, I just love everybody. But who are you loving specifically? God's talking to someone. I get back, and these are his words that got me going. I said, oh, me. It may become a cheap substitute for loving in particular when we're broadcasting love. For it costs nothing but sentiment to love in general. I love you guys. See, that didn't cost me nothing. But it really costs to love in particular. So don't broadcast love. Beam it to a particular person in a particular need and do it today. E. Stanley Jones. Oh, I just love everybody. We're Christians, we love everyone. But Jesus is saying, well, what about this person? Because again, I love you, everybody, and you send it out. But when have you stopped by and actually looked face to face, put an arm around somebody's shoulder, and said, I care about you. What can I do to help you today? What's going on in your life? And give them time? I don't even know what time is anymore. I think we have got ourselves so warped today, we don't know anymore how to manage time. As I've told you before, kind of been my hobby horse lately. They took the devices of everybody and they can keep track of how long you're on them. The average American, 5.5 hours a day screen time. Oh, there's no way I do that. Yeah, you pick it up here, you pick it up there, middle of the night, in the morning, whatever. 5.5 hours, they clock you. They know how much time you're on your devices. And we wonder why we don't have time to do the things we need to do for God. Just saying. Not my statistic. In 2014, it was 5 hours a day. Now it's 5.5. So the bottom line is simple. God depends upon current Christians to reach those who are not yet Christians. And one of my regular prayers, almost daily, is to ask God to help me fulfill His purpose for my life today. Because I believe that God brought me here, and I believe God brought each of you here to fulfill a purpose that He has for your life. And how tragic it would be for me to die and never fulfill that purpose. As you are young today, young as you will be, you will never get younger than you are right now. When are you going to start finding what God's purpose is and fulfilling it for your life? Because you will never be fulfilled until you're in the center of His will. You're missing opportunities to do God's purpose for you and me. Unless you find and pray for it and seek it out and discover what it is. God cares that much about me. God cares that much about you. You are designed to do something with your life. While your children at home, a lot of that effort is into pouring your life into children. But when they leave, it changes. There's always a purpose. There's a ministry. There's a calling. There's a desire. There's a burden. There's a hurt. There's something. If you're not feeling it, you need to ask God to give it to you. Because you're still alive. Because there's a purpose to be done. Lord, help me today to find an unsaved person and show love to them. Lord, help me today to find a Christian who's discouraged and show love to them. Lord, help me today to shut off Fox News and all the depression that's going on in the world around us and find somebody I can do good in their lives. Lord, help me today to quit watching reruns on Netflix for the last 15 seasons of such and such and find somebody who needs to help. We have everything at our fingertips. But the most important thing at our fingertips is Jesus. We need Jesus. We need His instruction. We need His comfort. And we need to serve Him. This is about as basic as you can get. And Mary knelt at the feet of Jesus for service. And like Mary, let's kneel before God and surrender to a life of service, showing Christ's love to specific people that are in our sphere of influence. I'm not talking about somebody who lives in Africa. I'm talking about somebody who lives in your neighborhood that attends your church or is in your nursing home. Or wherever else God lays it on your life. Some of you are doing this so good. You're doing a great job. But sometimes I read that, like from E. Stanley Jones, and I think, yeah, I broadcast a lot of love. But who specifically am I loving? So today we look at three incidents where Mary of Bethany is at the feet of Jesus. Her life is challenging me and you today. Perhaps we need some instruction from God just to make sure we obey what He has said and doing all the things that He is teaching us. Perhaps today we need comfort from God. No one understands and encourages like Jesus does. Sometimes you just have to say, I miss her. But Lord, you're going to help me to keep going. Amen. Saw my mom's picture this morning. It's okay, cry, but I gotta keep going. Amen. Amen. He gives me comfort. Perhaps today you know and want to show God's love and service to others. There are specific people in your life that need to experience God's love through specific acts of your kindness, and you are probably the only one who can do it the way you would do it, because you know best how to love them. And God's placed them in that life, in your situation, for a reason. Pretty practical stuff. Mary was a pretty practical person. So it's family altar time, and our tradition here is to go into a worship time, but first we stop for prayer. And our time for prayer is just to talk to God about anything and everything that's piling up in your life. Obviously, if someone wants to pray and ask Jesus into their heart, that's a good thing. But a lot of what we do is to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus some of the things that he's working on us. And a lot of what we do is we pray about our problems, because you hardly go through a month without some problems happening in your life. There's always finances and relationships and decisions that need to be made. And so a good place is to talk to the Lord about it. I know you can do it in your seat. Sometimes it just helps just to come to the front, sit in a seat, or kneel at the altar and give it to God. I just believe God hears and answers prayer. It's part of our worship to him to share. Amen. Let's share with Jesus today. As the praise team comes and sings, we stand together, come and talk to the Lord about whatever it is today. Let's pray together. Lord, you see us today. There's nothing hidden before the eyes of Almighty God. You know us. You know our names. The Bible says you even know how many hairs we have in our head. That's amazing. You know the people with physical needs. And you know, Lord, some of the struggles. Not everyone likes to come and pray at an altar. But sometimes there's struggles going on in life. Many times they're of our own bringing up, bad attitudes, quick decisions. Sometimes we say stuff a little too fast. We get into trouble. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to learn from our mistakes of this past week and be better at serving you the next week. The good thing about God's word is it tells us that every day is a fresh stripe from God. We have a new beginning right now. We can start over. Whatever we've messed up, that's the past. Right now we have a present right here today. And we open it up and we say, here, thank you, Lord. I got a new day. A new beginning. I can start today to do what I want to do and what God wants me to do in my life. So, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender this day, my decisions from this point forward, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to kneel at your feet, Lord. I want to learn from you. I want your comfort. And Lord, I want to serve you. I want to give to you. I want to give back. Lord, it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way. Here's my life. Here's my love. Here's the abilities that you've given to me. Lord, I want to be holy like you're holy. I want to be more like Jesus in every area of my life. So help me, Lord, starting this point to go forward brand new, new day, new beginning, new start. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And Lord, we pray now for our needs of our community and especially our church community, the sicknesses, the decisions, the finances, the relationships, the problems. We're going to have elections next Sunday night. We need your help, Lord, for the leadership of this church. Guide and direct us. Lord, we're moving forward in many areas. New things are happening. Lord, we need your direction. Lord, as pastor, we need anointing every week. Sunday school teachers and children's workers, and we all need your help, Lord. Going to work in a secular environment, we need God's help. There's a lot of people around us in our neighborhoods or down the street who don't know Jesus. Even in the nursing home, there's residents that need Jesus. Lord, wherever we go, whatever lives we touch, there's somebody that needs Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that we will be Jesus to them, your hands, your feet, your love, your smile, your hug. We believe that's what you've called us to do. There's some teenager that needs to know that we love them. There's a parent today that's having a tough time that needs to know Jesus loves them. There's a grandparent today that's having a struggle. There's a senior who's not getting enough money from their check. And they're struggling. Lord, help us to be the eyes and the hands of Jesus. See the need and bless them and help them. We love you, Jesus. We're committing ourselves to doing better. We're doing better. We're going to do better. Thank you. Help us in our worship now. We love you, Jesus. We put you first, and we just worship you and lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.